This is the Widow Podcast, and I am Karen Sutton, the Widow Coach. I'll be supporting you through the loss of your life partner so you can find a more positive way through your grief. I want to give you hope after loss and to know that when you are ready, you can create a meaningful life for yourself with the help of me, Karen Sutton, and the Widow Podcast. Hello and welcome back to the Widow Podcast. In this episode, I want to talk to you about building resilience. I have this question a lot in my communities. It comes up a lot in my support groups on Facebook. How do we become more resilient? How do we learn how to adapt, how to bounce back, how to cope when we experience hardship, trauma, loss? Now, the loss of a life partner, as we know, is huge. It's profound. The impact it has on us is so much more than I think we, as the griever, imagine. And it's definitely so much more than those around us supporting us understand. Because it's such a long journey. And I think there's an element in all of us that, you know, unless we've had a profound, significant loss in our lives, that there's an end point that we will find our way through it in a certain amount of time. And I did, you know, after Simon died, I remember thinking after 6 months, this is going to be so much better. And then after the first year, I thought, I'm properly going to have my stuff together. And I didn't. And, you know, I am now in my 8th year. And as you know, as I've shared on this podcast, there are still times when things are hard and heavy, and my grief, not only does it have an impact on me in terms of I'm grieving, but the ongoing effects of losing a life partner are there for life. And it's learning to live alongside our loss, our anxieties, our trauma, and finding a way of creating some peace in our hearts, our souls, our minds, allowing us to create a life that can feel full and meaningful and joyous, and whatever we want that to look and feel like. It doesn't just happen. We have to work at it. And, you know, this is what we do in my 12-month program, Finding Hope in Widowhood. We work. We do the work together. And it is so powerful because it's not so much the amount of time that passes that matters. It's what you do with the time that passes. It's all about the choices that you make and the way in which you choose to show up for yourself. And they are choices. They're big choices. And sometimes we don't recognize the amazing choices we're making every day. And sometimes we don't recognize the choices we're actually able to make within our grieving journey to help us find a way forward. Because we can. We absolutely can. It is possible to create something meaningful and peaceful and joyous after loss. Now, that's not to say it's perfect. Again, as you know, I've shared in this podcast many a time, my life is amazing. It's rich and it's full of love. And I'm in an incredibly wonderful place that I'm so grateful for. And I have the impact of Simon's death coming with me, and it shows up in many different ways. And in order to find my way through it, I've had to learn how to build on my resilience. I've had to learn how to get myself back up when life is knocking me down. And it does, and it continues to, because that's life, right? And This isn't about toxic positivity. This isn't about saying, you know, we're not allowed to be down. We're not allowed to feel sad or angry or hurt or upset. Being resilient doesn't mean that you don't ever experience those heavier, harder emotions and feelings. For me, I think it means that you know how to support yourself through them. And that's a big thing. That's a big thing. So I think that we have to cultivate this inner resilience, and we have to find our own unique ways of paving our way forward, of supporting ourselves through this, because nobody's coming to save us. Nobody can do the work for us. And it is our responsibility to find our way to our healing. And it's an inside job. And I think we can spend a lot of time looking externally outside of us for answers, for quick fixes. We have expectations on others and what they can do for us and what they can provide for us. But ultimately, our healing is our responsibility. And that doesn't mean that we have to do it by ourselves. Of course it doesn't. This is why I have my membership. This is why I have my 12-month program, because what I love to do is bring people together. And bringing people together that are going through something similar is so incredibly powerful. Just the shared wisdom and strength and the support and the encouragement and the understanding and that safe space is life-changing for so many. And it's not about doing it in isolation. We can't heal in isolation. It's learning how to find our own way from within and building that confidence within ourselves that we can find a way through this. So I've kind of created my own framework around resilience and what I think that means and what it looks like and what it's looked like for me. And I think that the sort of the main points that I think have been integral to my ability to bounce back after Simon died. But it's also a lot of the foundation of what I teach within my program, because there are building blocks, right? There are building blocks, and we have to create those solid foundations so that we can build up. I talked a little bit about foundations in my last episode, and they're different for everybody. That there's not one set way, and we will, because we're all different, right? And we all have different wants and needs and desires to enable us to find a way forward. It takes time, it takes patience, and like I say, it takes a good support network. And if we are able to be patient with ourselves, understand that it takes time, it's not an overnight job, we can take those small steps. Now, I've kind of broken this down into A, B, C, D, because I think it just helps to understand what we can do within ourselves to cultivate that resilience. So A is the attitude that you have for approaching life, grief, challenges that you face. It's your mindset that you hold, your general attitude to the way you typically think about things. And we all have this, and this is something that we have as a result of our upbringing, our parents, our peers, our colleagues, our experiences, our challenges, the books we read, the movies we watch. There's so much that forms our own personal attitudes, our mindsets. And sometimes we're not particularly aware of them. But I think that there's two kind of mindsets, and you've got the kind of the victim or the victor. And I decided very early on, I didn't want to be a victim. I wanted to find my way through this in the best way that I could. I had no idea how I was going to do that, but I knew that that was what I wanted to do. And Carol Dweck has done a lot of work on mindsets, and she works around sort of having a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. And essentially, you know, if you have a fixed mindset, the way you look at things is just the way you look at things. There's no changing it. You cannot see it from another perspective. You hold yourself in that place with your belief systems, your attitudes, and there's no growth. There's no adapting. There's no changing. Or you have the growth mindset where you recognize that as much as you don't know how to do something yet, you can learn. You might not know it right now, but you can figure it out. There's potential there to learn, to grow, to understand, to see things from a different perspective. And I think if we can work on that, which again is what I love doing in my program, is helping people develop that growth mindset so that they don't become a victim of their circumstances. So an easy way to tell, I used to be a bit of a victim. I used to have a bit of a fixed mindset. I had to cultivate my growth mindset and my ability to rise, because it didn't come naturally to me. I would give up. I would quit. I would think that my abilities had limitations. I would think that I couldn't do something because I didn't have the qualifications. I wasn't clever enough. I wasn't thin enough. I wasn't pretty enough. I didn't have enough money. I didn't live in the right place. That wasn't available to me because of X, Y, and Z. And I would find all of those reasons so that I could give up. I would be defeated. I'd say, I can't. It's too hard. I haven't got it in me. And when things got tough, I would see that as a reason to kind of go, oh no, it's too hard. It's not for me. I'm never going to make it. Rather than thinking, yeah, this is hard, but I'm going to keep going, because if I don't, this is where I stay. And do I want to stay here? So it's looking, and it's using the word yet. I don't know yet, but I can learn. I can figure this out. I can ask for help. How you think about things will have a huge impact on how you approach your challenges, and recognizing that you have everything that you need within you. So your attitude, really important. B, being brave. B is for bravery. And it's a tough one, because we are brave every single day in so many moments. And sometimes we don't recognize it because we're doing things that we always used to do. And I've talked about this in my comparison podcast, you know, comparing our reality now to what we used to have and thinking that, you know, we're not doing very well because we can't do the things that we used to do. But actually, just getting up in the morning takes so much courage and shows real bravery to face a day, another day, without your person is huge. So it's absolutely recognizing where you are already being brave, but also looking at where can you continue to be brave? Where is there fear? Where are you not taking steps? Stepping out of your comfort zone, doing something that makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable because you're scared. And when we don't face our fears, when we hold ourselves in that space of fear, again, we are holding ourselves back from discovering what feels good, what doesn't, what supports us, what doesn't, what possibilities are out there for us. You know, there's so much that we have to learn in this new life. And again, you know, I refer back to, I can't remember which episode it was, when I was talking about, you know, becoming a widow is like a rebirth. It's like you're being born again into this world that you don't know, you don't understand. You are viewing it through a completely different lens. Everything looks different, feels different, tastes different. You don't know who you are. You don't know where you fit in. It's like an alien planet that you have been plonked on, and you just don't understand it anymore. And it's like being born again. You know, you've got to learn a new way of thinking and being and behaving, because what we had, what we did, who we were, doesn't quite fit in where we are. And that takes a lot of adapting, a lot of evolving, a lot of processing. And if we aren't able to step out of our comfort zone and do things that feel a little bit uncomfortable, how are we ever going to learn who we are and what we want and what helps us? So I think, you know, we have to sometimes pull up our big girl pants or our big boy pants and say, do you know what? This is scaring me. And this isn't stepping into your panic zone so that you just, you know, you're not saying sort of tip yourself over the edge into that horrible place of anxiety and panic. But something that you kind of go, that is a bit scary, but I think I can do it. Believe in myself, deep breath, pull your pants up and kind of go. And that's where you start to really understand. It's not easy, but it allows us to grow and it allows us to see what we're capable of. It allows us to uncover those parts of us that we didn't know existed that will make us feel so much stronger, give us a confidence boost, but also help us to explore within ourselves what it is that we want, need, and desire in this new chapter, in this new book of our lives. C is compassion. And you hear me talking about this all the time, so this won't come as news to you. Self-compassion, it's a really difficult one that we struggle with because I don't think we are necessarily used to prioritizing our own needs and putting ourselves first. We're not used to talking to ourselves with kindness and care. We are self-critical. We are constantly judging ourselves. We are putting ourselves down. We are looking in the mirror. We are using unkind words. We aren't listening to how we feel and what's showing up for us. We're overriding it because we think we should be somewhere else. We think we should be doing better. And it's just constant. And it's learning how to be kind and caring and treating ourselves like we would a good friend, like somebody we really love, and understanding that everything we're experiencing is valid and finding a kind way of responding to that in that moment, thinking about what we need and how we can soothe ourselves and how we can find that way forward. It comes down to understanding your grief and yourself a little better. And this all comes from self-compassion and understanding that the words that you say to yourself are the most important words that you will say to anyone ever. And how you speak to yourself reflects out. It has an impact on how you show up, the energy that you give, how you treat others. And it can really shift things. And I think if we can learn to be kinder to ourselves and support ourselves in the best way possible, we become so much more resilient. We become so much more powerful because when we're knocking ourselves down, we're disempowering ourselves. But when we're building ourselves up, we're being kind. We are building our confidence and our self-esteem, and we are giving ourselves the time and space that we need to understand ourselves. And when we understand ourselves, when we can look after ourselves, we are in a much better position than if we don't. And D, desire, your drive to want to create something good again. It's your why. Now, I had this very instinctively, very, very early on, after Simon died. As I said before, you know, I absolutely did not want to become a victim of his death. I refused. And as I said, I didn't know how I was going to do that. But very instinctively, I had this inner desire, this drive that got me to take the action I needed to take so that I absolutely did not become a victim. Now, I made some questionable choices in my grieving journey. Of course I did. there were things I did that really weren't very helpful. There were times when I didn't have that drive and that desire. You know, it's like, this is too hard. I can't do it. It's taking too long. I'm not capable. Of course you do. And that's okay. It isn't about permanently being focused and saying, yeah, I'm going to do this. I've got this desire. I've got this drive and I'm focused and I'm working towards it and I'm not giving up. It's not about that. It's having an inner depth of understanding as to what you are working towards. You don't have to have the answers. You don't have to know how you're going to get there or what it's necessarily going to look like. But just what is it that you want? And I've said this to you before. If you don't know what you do want, what don't you want? And I think that was my desire. You know, I was very much working towards what I didn't want. I didn't want to become a victim. I wasn't sure what I did want. I didn't know where I was heading. I didn't know what I had to do. I didn't know how to get through the next 5 minutes, let alone the 5 weeks, months, years that lay ahead of me. I couldn't think that far ahead, but I did know in my core, in my soul, instinctively, that this was not going to destroy me and the girls. This was not going to take more from us than it had already taken. Grief takes so much, and it's debilitating. It's frightening. I have never known despair and devastation like it. Honestly, don't really know how I got through it. You kind of one step at a time, and it's awful. But I absolutely knew that I had to find a way of creating a life for myself and the girls that we could be proud of, that Simon could be proud of, that we could live in fully, peacefully, and joyfully, knowing that we had absolutely done our very best and not allowed Simon's death to take any more from us than it already had. Because there was so much out there that was still possible. And that's hard to see at the beginning. And that's not necessarily what I saw at the beginning. That only came in time. But know your reasons. Whether you're working towards something or you're working away from something, what is it that drives you? What is it that keeps you going? What is it that invites you to fight for a life that you cannot see, but that you want to find and that you want to be good again in some way? So they are my ABCs of resilience, and there's so much more. That you know, it's a very in-depth, long process that involves a lot of hard work. It involves really exploring within, that deep dive into you. It can be done. And a lot of us are doing it in Finding Hope in Widowhood. And it's amazing. It's uncomfortable. It's scary. It's hard, but it's amazing. And I hope just by sharing those little nuggets with you, it helps you think about how can you maybe cultivate a little more resilience in your journey. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. If this has been helpful to you, I would absolutely love it if you could leave me a review, either on Google or on Spotify, whichever platforms you listen on. I would love it if you could share it. If you are in any other groups, widow groups, just drop the link into it and invite people to listen if they are grieving the loss of a life partner. And let's reach more people that need the light in the darkness. Sending you all so much love, and I will see you again very soon. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to The Widow Podcast with me, Karen Sutton. If you would like to be part of a supportive community of people who understand your grief, come and join my free Facebook group, Widowed and Rising. And make sure you tune in to the next episode of The Widow Podcast.